want to tell the church, appreciate you all giving us the opportunity to come this way and try to preach what the Lord put on our hearts. We're going to take the reading out of Exodus chapter 17. I'll give you a second to go over there. Definitely need your prayers tonight. The Lord stopped by White Hill this morning and blessed us and had a good Sunday school. And Brother Michael Nesbitt did a wonderful job preaching this morning. Had a good message, and just want to continue that on in tonight and just pray that everybody comes here following the Lord and asking Him to be with us, because that's what we need tonight, is for the Lord to come in and sit down and be with us the entire time. But the message the Lord laid on my heart tonight, it's one that may be a little odd to you. It may not, I'm not sure, but it was a little different than I expected the way that I saw it. But all I can do is tell you what the Lord put on my heart and then let it lay where it lay. But in Exodus chapter 17, it's starting with verse 1, we'll read down to verse 7, if it be the Lord's will. It says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? And I guess the couple verses we want to focus on tonight is verse 5 and 6, and we'll reread those. And it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And I guess how I got to this point and how the Lord showed me this message, I was actually reading White Hill for our Wednesday nights. We've been going through a lot of 1 Corinthians. We started in Acts, and we continued to kind of go on with Paul's letters. And in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10, it's 10 or 11, it talks about the rock there, and it talks about Christ providing the water there out of that rock. And I sat there and I started thinking about that old rock. And I guess if you could put a title to the message tonight, it would be Just a Rock. Just a Rock. And I started thinking about this rock and thinking about how Moses brought them all together, and the Lord told Moses, you know, go to that rock and smite it, and the water will come. Gather all the people together and go to the rock and take that rod that you've used many times before and smite the rock, and the water will come. And the way the Lord showed this to me, and like I said, it may be a little different, and that's fine, but as I was studying and trying to read through this, I kind of got to the point that I looked at that rock and saw that it was just a rock, that the water came from the Lord. There was nothing that was of power of the rock. There was nothing that was different of that rock. But it was the power of God that came through it, that the Lord used there. And that's the thought that's on my heart this morning, just a rock. And as I was sitting up here just a minute ago, I was reading, or while I was thinking and praying, and I thought about Moses here, how Moses was a big instrument for the Lord. He did a lot of things for God. We know that He parted the Red Sea there. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to a different place and freed them. No matter how many times they turned their back on Him and on the Lord still used Moses to deliver those people. Moses was just a rock. Just a rock that the Lord used, and that the power came from. That the power really came from God, but He used Moses to do those things. And it made me think so many times that preachers and God's people, where every one of us are just a rock. And you think about that rock, and you know, you pick up a rock, and what, we can go outside right now and pick up a small rock, a stone, and hold it in our hands, and you know, it's hard. Usually it's gray, maybe white. But there's really not a whole lot you can do with it. You can build stuff with it. You can, people have been doing that for years, you can build stuff with it, but typically it's not something that there's going to be some water coming out of. Typically there's not something that's going to be just phenomenal about it. And it's just like the children of the Lord. Until the Lord saved me, there was nothing about me worth anything. And still now, the only thing that's worth anything is what the Lord put in my heart. All I am tonight is just a rock. And the only thing that I can do tonight is to follow the Lord and hope that the Lord uses me as a tool to further the gospel. There's so many men and people and women in the Bible here that we could flip from the very beginning to the very end that were just a rock, and the Lord used them to deliver Israel. We could go in Judges and read about all the judges that came forth. Samson, he was a mighty big rock, but there wasn't a whole lot different about him. He was a Nazarite, but he still made mistakes, but the Lord still used that man. He used Moses. We look at Paul. What a rock he was. One that we talked about this morning in Sunday school that did a lot of bad things. A lot of bad things. And you see from him going from Saul to Paul that you can see the spiritual and physical representation of going from an old man to a new man. And the only thing that changed was what was in his heart. The Lord began, he saved his soul, and Paul began to work, and he became a tool for the Lord. If you've been saved by the grace of God tonight, you are to be a tool for the Lord to use. And whatever that is, whatever it is in your life, whether it is in your job or whatever it is that he has you to do, you're the tool in the toolbox. That when he reaches in there and he picks it up, he expects to be able to use you in the way that he intends. But how many times, folks, does he pick us up? Like some pliers. You ever had a pair of pliers get real rusty? It's kind of hard to move them. I'm afraid tonight that a lot of us are that way at times. I know I am. I'm that way a lot of times. But I thank the Lord that in order to get a little bit of that rust away, he comes in and gives me a little bit of that water. Softens me up, and he's able to use me again. I thank the Lord for that tonight. And you know, I think sometimes we'll get a little bit too much pride about us, and we'll think that we're a little bit more than just a rock. Folks, everything that we have, everything that goes well, when the church is thriving, it's not because of us, it's because of God. It's because of the Lord and people willing to follow Him. We are just a rock. And we need to know our place. We have no room to go ahead of the Lord. Brother Nesbitt made a statement this morning. He said, you know, all I'm trying to do is follow the Lord and try to stay right next to Him. He said, but when, you know, I try not to get in front of Him, because when I get in front of Him, I start to veer off. And he was very true, because, you know, and I believe I made mention of this last time I was here, but I talked about that poem when Jesus and the man were walking on the sand, and it was like a timeline, and you all probably have heard the poem before, but that they looked at the sand. The man looked at the sand when they got down to the end, and he noticed at a point in time that there was only one set of footprints instead of two. And in that time, the man looks at the Lord, and he said, Lord, where were you during this time? And the Lord turned around and looked at him, and he said, well, at this time, those footprints are mine, because I picked you up and I carried you to the next spot. Well, I kind of thought about that poem when Brother Nesbitt said that. You know, when we get ahead of the Lord and we see those two footprints in the sand, it's kind of like if we were walking down the aisle here and we were walking towards it, it's kind of like Jesus is right going right here. But when we start getting ahead of Him, we start coming this way. And you can see it in the sand. You can see it when our footsteps start to veer away from the Lord's. And when we start doing that, that is when we start believing that we are more than just a rock and that we are more than a tool. Folks, it's all we are. Let's not have too much pride tonight. Pride makes a church fall. Pride makes a single individual fall very fast. Very, very quickly. We know that we can flip over to Numbers. I was reading this where the people were wanting water once more. And Moses prayed and he talked to the Lord there. And the Lord said, all right, we'll go to the rock and speak to the rock. And water will be brought forth. So he gathers them all together around the rock. He gathers them all up and he walks up to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smites it again. He didn't follow the Lord in the exact way that the Lord wanted it to. Water still came. I thank the Lord tonight that when we fall short, the water still comes. How much of a blessing tonight is that, folks, that we being just plain and simple, being just plain and simple people that make mistakes, that we have a Lord that'll still bring the rain. Elijah, we could flip over and talk about Elijah when he was running there. He was afraid for his life. And I can't remember exactly where it's at, but he was afraid for his life from the queen there. And he was sitting on top of the mountain and he was kind of down on himself and kind of depressed a little bit. But the rain came. I thank the Lord tonight that the rain comes. You know, there tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I know what I've been through. I know how my life is. I'm there. But you know, there's been a lot of times in my life that I've fallen short. There's been a lot of times in my life that it's been awful hard. And it seems like I'm begging the Lord for some rain. I'm begging Him, but the rain doesn't come until later. It's kind of like we're in a desert. You know, you ever been in that part of your life where things get real hard and it seems like you're in a dry desert and you just can't get out of it? You're just asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me get through this desert. Send me some help. And maybe you go for a few days trying to wander through and then finally the rain comes. You know, I was thinking about the rain the other day going to work. You know, the world that we live in today, you could probably say it's almost like a desert. You know, it gets awful hard to live in the world sometimes. You know, it gets awful hard to try to live the way that we are expected to in the world that we live in. Because a lot of people don't like what we do. They don't like what we stand for. And, you know, it's always been that way. There's always been people that don't agree with the Lord that are going to stand against the Lord. But you know, this morning also in Sunday school, we talked about David and Goliath. David, another rock. That whenever Goliath stood forth against God's mighty army, David said, who is this man to stand before my Lord? A small boy. And Saul gave him that armor. And he said, all right, here's your helmet, here's your breastplate, here's your sword. And what does it say? It says, David essayed to go. He hesitated. And he said, I haven't proved these yet. So what Saul tried to give him was not apt to be able for David to fight Goliath. David knew that what he needed wasn't of any physical armor. He needed that holy armor. He needed that armor and that weapon provided from the Lord. And we know and we could read that David even tells Saul that the Lord has delivered the lion, he has delivered the bear, and he will deliver Goliath unto me. He will do it. He doesn't say that he might. He doesn't say that maybe he will, but he says that he will. He is confident that that rain will come and that the Lord will take care of him. But yet again, David was just a rock. He just followed the Lord. He had trust in the Lord. He trusted that the Lord was going to take care of him through that battle. And what did he do? The Bible tells us that he goes out and he gets a shepherd's bag and he gathers 5 smooth stones. He prepares himself for what he's about to go and do. Goliath was an awful big man. But David didn't hesitate to go whenever he was prepared. That may not go along with the message, but that's okay. Folks, today, we need to realize where we stand with the Lord. We need to realize what we are to the Lord. And we need to get a little closer. And we need to use the tools that are provided. We can use, you know, Brother Ron, I've heard him preach many, many times. But if he was the, and I love hearing the brother preach, I love hearing him teach, but if he ever got up here and tried to do it without the Lord, I know from experience he would fall flat. And so would I. You know why? It's because we're just a rock. We can't do it without the Lord. You can't do it without the Lord. We can't live in this life the way that we need to and the way that we're expected to without the Lord's help. And people say you don't have to go to church. Folks, I do. Because every once in a while, I got to come in and I got to get a little bit of drink of water to be able to continue to go on. Because a lot of times, you're not going to find any water out there. You're going to have to come here to get it. And I thank the Lord for that today. Is that He's letting me know where I stand with Him and that He's provided the tools that are needed. We are just a rock. Just a rock in the bag to be used. You know, you may not like that, and that's fine. I guess you need to take that up with the Lord. But, folks, realize what we're here to do. I love having a good time. I love, you know, I love going on vacation with my wife and just hanging out and having a good time. I believe there's times for that. The Bible tells us there's times to relax. But folks, when it's time to work, it is time to work. And every single day when we're out in that world, whether you like it or not, people are watching. And you may not realize you're working a lot of the times, but when people are watching you, you best be working. You know, at work, they don't like us really standing around and just sitting there all day. They want us to be doing something. They want us up and be moving and stocking or whatever it is. At least look like we're working. But you know, with the Lord, people are always watching you. And they're looking for an excuse. So you best be working. Don't be looking like you're working. Because that didn't go very far either. That's the message the Lord laid on my heart tonight. I know it wasn't very long, and that's all right. But y'all be prayerful for us. We need your prayers as we go forth. White Hill needs your prayers. We need the man there that the Lord wants there. And there's a lot of people down our road there that I don't think anybody that lives on that road comes to the church. So y'all remember them in your prayers. We need to reach out. We need to do a better job at that. You know, I like going to churches that are full, but it kind of gets me when we come to church and there's not anybody of the area that go. And it kind of bothers me sometimes. And that bothers me with our church as well. That makes me realize that we need to get out there and work.
I believe one of the greatest honors that Peter ever received was the Lord looked at him and said, your name's not going to be Peter, it's going to be called Cephas. Even the stone. And a lot of times we think about that. God can use the stones. He can use the rocks. He can use you. He can use me. And if we'll just allow Him to use us. I appreciate the good message.
Amen.
Appreciate the good instruction. Appreciate the deliverance. And just glad that He was able to come and share that with us tonight. Let him stand. Let us come around and shake His hand in appreciation for the message. You don't know that rock. He talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It said that rock was Christ. And it truly is. And I'm standing on the solid rock. I believe we sung yesterday too, too. That's right. We all got to get water, a drink of water from that. So we're thankful that it all just came together today.
Page 44.
God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you for coming. And Brother White Barber's going to be here in a couple of weeks. I said, you're going to be here in about 3 weeks. He said, too. So I went and checked, and he's right. So that's good. It's good to have him come before he gets ordained. And let's encourage him. And Mount Calvary, they
April 14th.
April 14th. Okay, April 14th. And good to be able to have him come and share with us before that day at Mount Calvary. And so you pray for him. Brother Tim Saylor's will be here next week. And then the week after that, Brother Mike will be here to preach for us. And so you pray for him. Looking forward to that. Those preachers coming too. Invite Brother Chase to come back. Every time I see him, he said, can I have another appointment? And I try to always honor those. We need to help our young ministers and preachers in any way that we can. And so I appreciate the zeal that they have. And they need an opportunity to preach if they're ever going to grow and be ready to take on the responsibilities of us that are going to lay down the old Bible one day soon. And so please pray for them and always try to help them along the way. Anything else on your heart? Remember, we won't have service this Wednesday. This coming Tuesday, the Winter Bible Study, be at Fairview Memorial. I encourage you to go if you can. If you can't, please listen to the lessons on the Fairview Memorial website. It'd be a good opportunity. All hearts and minds at liberty? If so, we pray that you have a good rest of the week. Be safe and careful out there. Brother Andrews, would you pray the benediction for us? Amen. Bless you.
You hear your medical treatment.
You found out that the Sound Association
got the medicine, but I don't think it started.
Oh, it's not an infusion?
No.